My turn. I will apologize to you in advance for tonight, but I'm plum tuckered out. This morning, it was just, I was so burdened. It was so heavy for me. I don't know about you guys, but wore me out. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. We're going to read the whole chapter. And I want to, there are several things in here I want to point out and discuss a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy is Paul's trainee. He's bringing him up in the ministry. He treats him like his son and trying to, and training him up and teaching him and just showing him, and he keeps encouraging him in what to do and how to do things. And he says here in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come up to knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone." When I think about this, when I read this, we're going to continue on just a second. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without all this stuff, he says in the last days, man, it's going to get bad, y'all. Guess what? If that's any indication about the last days, folks, we're in them. And then in verse 10, he says, "You, however, as opposed to the previous set of passages," but that's not for you, Timothy. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Again, he says, "But as for you, continue what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." May God bless the reading of His Word. Several things here. Paul starts off and he says, look, in the last day, it's going to get bad. It's going to be bad. Was he not describing society today? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Even, you see, all this stuff, Paul even puts in there, even just having a form of godliness but denying the power of God is in the same category as the slanderous, the abusive, the conceited, the proud. And folks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes in power, folks. He doesn't come to mess around. He didn't come to just give us warm fuzzies. That may disappoint some of you. But He comes for a purpose. And it's not for your purpose. It's for His purpose. And He tells Timothy all this stuff. But not you. You. And He encourages him. You know all about the truth. You know about my teaching. You know about how I've lived and things that I've been through. And then he goes on and he says, but you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of. And I want to focus on this. Is that, go to verse 14, please. Next slide. Continue what you learned and what you have become convinced. I want to talk about this word, become convinced of. What's that word mean? What does it mean to be convinced of something? You know that you know that you know. And who can sway you otherwise? Okay, that's that strong. He's being convinced so much. I mean, can is there any way anybody can come in here and tell you, hey, gravity's not real. It's just a figment of your imagination. You're really floating. You're really flying in the air, and gravity is just it's a mind trick. Could anybody convince you of that? Could anybody convince you that this shirt is really red? And if you're colorblind, I don't know if there's anybody that's colorblind. Sometimes I think I am. Rebecca thinks I'm wrinkle blind, that I can't see wrinkles. On my clothes. Okay. I wasn't going there. I have to go home. I have to go home with you tonight. I was not going there. Are y'all convinced that this shirt is actually blue? Is there nothing I could do to convince you that it's like a shade of pink? No? Why is that? Because Joyce knows better. Paul says, you got to become convinced. Become convinced. So solidify your faith that there is nothing that when the slanderers come in the last day, when the evildoers come, when the unholy, the ungrateful, those without love, those and that whole list, when all those come, you won't be swayed. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You become convinced. Convinced. And because you know from who you learned it. Now, here's the deal. Here's the greatest revelation of this passage to me. By who you learned it from. I'm a teacher. I'm a preacher. That's what preachers do. They teach. Okay, but I'm not teaching my word. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. Okay? So what I'm saying there is, from who you learned it, don't look at me. Don't look at me. You look to God. You say, is He trustworthy? Let me see if He has proven Himself before. And you can go back to starting, I would say, Genesis 1:1. And just see time and 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 time again how He has proven Himself faithful to those that are faithful to Him. I think that's important to note. It doesn't say that God's going to be faithful to everyone, period. It's going to be faithful to those who are faithful to Him. Okay? It's a partnership. It's a relationship. I heard somebody talk about the religion of Christianity and the religion of Christianity. He says, I don't like that word because Christianity is not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And that's the truth. Religion is rules. Relationship is just that. It's relationship. It's trust. It's that we talked about this morning, how an enemy can't grieve you. Enemies can't. They can hurt you. They can disappoint you. They can anger you. They can frustrate you. But they cannot grieve you. Only somebody you love can grieve you. It's a love relationship that God wants to have with us. Be convinced of it. Firm it up in your mind. Firm it up in your heart. So much that there's nothing anybody could do to dissuade you from the truth. And you have known the Holy Scriptures in verse 15. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That'll preach right there. Salvation, not because of your knowledge, right? But the knowledge helps us have the faith. So knowledge is important, but it's the faith and not faith in anything except Jesus Christ. Firm it up. Be convinced of it. All Scripture. How many of y'all have heard this verse before? All Scripture. Everybody say all.
All.
Which ones does that leave out? Y'all tell me. List them for me, the ones it leaves out. All Scripture is God-breathed. The writers that wrote the words down. Who's the author of Scripture? God is. So, did Paul write this letter? He penned the letter. Good answer. Who's the author of it? God. How did God tell Paul how to write it? Through the Holy Spirit. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us His Word. It is God-breathed. You know that the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is the pneuma, right? P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. Is there another word that we have that kind of fits with that? Pneumonia. Pneumatic tools. Yeah? How many of y'all are NASCAR fans? Sherry's a NASCAR fan. Okay. When the guys get down there with those wheel wrenches, they're running off of pneumatics, which is air. Okay? Pneumonia is something that affects our airways, right? Okay. It's God breathes. It's that spirit. It's the pneuma of God. It's God's breath. It's His speak. His spoken word to us. It's God breathed and it's useful. How many of y'all think that God's word is useful? Amen. Here's what it's useful for. It's useful for teaching. Y'all agree? Okay. It's useful for rebuking. And correcting. Do y'all agree with that? Okay. And for training in righteousness. Do y'all agree with that one? Okay. I'm just checking. It's useful for all these things. God's Word. And He's telling Timothy this. Does Timothy understand the importance of God's Word? Do you think he does? Absolutely. Is Paul telling him again, reiterating the fact that God's Word is the source, God's Word that has the power? God's Word is what's important. Is it wrong for Paul to reiterate that with him? Or is it wrong for me to reiterate that with us? God's Word is everything. Matter of fact, God's Word tells us that we will fade away, we will die, we will be gone. And actually, this whole, everything we see and know, one day will be gone. But it tells us that there is something that will remain. That's one place. It tells us that that all things may fade, but the Word of God endures forever. Ever. Forever. How long is forever? We have no idea. We have no idea, do we? We can't grasp that. I mean, we think 100 years is a long time. My dad's 88 years old. He says, been on this earth a long time. A long time. He says, I thought I might make it to about 95. We'll see what happens. But that's a long time, folks. Forever, 95 years is not a drop in the bucket. Forever. We'll endure forever. It's God-breathed, and it's useful for many things, for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Is that our job to do those things? It's kind of a trick question. Is it our job to teach? Is it our job to train in righteousness? Is it our job to rebuke and correct? Is it our job to use our word and our opinions to do those things? Okay, there's where the caveat is. There's where the thing is. It's our job to know this well enough that we can teach it. To know this well enough that we can use it to correct. That we can use it to rebuke. That we can use it to train in righteousness. Who are we training in righteousness? Who are we teaching? Who are we rebuking? Who are we correcting? Who? The next generation? Ourselves? Who else? If they're living and breathing, it's them. Okay. Right. Why is it so important that we do those things? Is it important that we do those things? Is it important that we know the Word of God so that we can use it to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to train in righteousness? Is it important? Why? Well, absolutely. Speak all things. Speak the truth in love. That's right. You can get a whole lot more bees with, how's it go? You can get what with it? Flies? You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Okay. So love is important. Why is it important that we do those things? To further His kingdom? To be obedient? Look at the end of the verse. Or verse 17. So that. What does so that means? What? So that. What's that mean? What do you think is coming next? So that. We need to do these things and know these things in order to, so that, because you're going to need to be able to have that to accomplish. You need A to accomplish B. Okay, here it is. So that. The servant of God, who is that? That's Joyce, okay. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How well equipped should we be? Have you ever gone to some place, whether it's a mechanic shop, a bakery, a restaurant, and you go to talk to the person and and they go, well, I don't have a clue. I don't know much about carburetors, but I'm going to get in there and I'm going to take a look at it. What kind of oil did you fry this? What kind of oil did you fry this in? I'm concerned about that. Well, I don't know. It's whatever we had in the back. Does this cake have gluten in it? No, I didn't put no gluten in it. What's gluten? We don't put that fancy stuff in our food. No, I'm serious. You know, come up with your own scenario. If you go to some place, you expect them to know something about something. They look at you like they look at you like this. Uh-huh. How much confidence do you have in that? Are they fully equipped to do whatever they're doing? Okay. So sometimes we know the difference. It says here, where did our verse go? So that the servant of God, being Joyce, may be thoroughly equipped, thoroughly, completely, without question, for every good work. That's it. For every good work. Folks, Paul is telling Timothy, a pastor, a leader, Someone who knows the Scripture from a very young age, right? He knows this stuff. And Paul is telling him, oh, but never ever forget. Become so convinced of the truth. Nothing can dissuade you from it. Convinced. Convinced. And use it the way God intended it. For teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Both other people and yourself. For this purpose. So that you, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, what does every good work mean? Maybe that's at your job. Maybe that's at your school. Maybe that's, do we have any students in here? No, it's flat. Okay. Maybe that's in your house. Maybe that's in the Walmart line. I've used that illustration too many times. I'll find a different store to pick on. That's just a place that kind of, it makes my wife nervous. It's a place that she finds it more easier to be ungodly in the Walmart line. When you're in the line and there's two people in front of you, there's six people in this line, and the last person in the line gets through before you get to the next. Okay. Folks, that's us. We're to be equipped for every good work. And we don't always know what that is. But if we are paying attention, if we're listening, if we're convinced, God's going to send that work our way. Okay. Maybe that's handing out flyers for the Easter thing coming up. Maybe that's signing up to work an hour at the garage sale and being able to just spend time with folks that are coming in. Maybe that's coming up on Tuesday and helping to just fix a meal that we serve to anybody that comes through the door on the third Tuesday of the month. Maybe it's those things that we do as the church, do the church. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something else. But you got to be ready. You can't be ready unless you've firmed it up in your mind. I've become so convinced, nothing is going to persuade me otherwise. Brother Mike, that shirt is blue. I know it's blue. Got to know the Word of God so that we can use it and handle it. The Bible tells us to handle it correctly. That's not taking it out of context. That's not, listen to this, that's not finding a belief you have and going to the Bible to find something that'll back that up. Of course, you have to take it out and remove it from the context because the context doesn't back it up, but this word might. Okay, it's not talking about that. It's talking about knowing the Word of God and using it for teaching, for training, correction, and rebuking sometimes. But you got to be convinced that it's the truth. And I'll tell you, if you are convinced, if you will become convinced that the Word of God is the truth, that settles everything. Because if you're convinced that it's the truth, you're going to do the truth. And the truth tells us to do those things, to be equipped, to be ready. It tells us live a holy life. It tells us don't be weighted down with sin. It tells us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him alone. It tells us all these things. If we can become convinced of that, we will be convinced that we were created for God's purpose and not our own. God is just so good, though. How many of y'all, I grew up in a church, First Baptist Church of Fort Stockton, Texas. And I think it was an unwritten rule that before you went into the door, you had to take your smiles off and leave them outside somewhere. They weren't allowed in the church house, it seemed like. Because everybody in there was like this. Looked like they were really upset to be there. They didn't want to be there. Either that or maybe they served lemons and I just never got one. But did anybody ever have a church experience like that? I hope that's not your church experience here. I believe I believe that God wants you to have a good time when you come to His presence. Okay? I believe you ought to have fun when you come to church. And that's why it's okay to just have a good time. Get excited. Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. You got a song about that, couldn't you? Where was I going with that? Like I said, I've already apologized. I'm exhausted. You're not going to do it if you're not convinced of it. You're not going to do it if it's not. God is so good that He lets us enjoy obedience. That's where I was going. That's where I was going. I mean, if it's a drudgery, if it's always a pain in the neck to do the will of God, if it's always just a hardship, if it's an oppressive, you're not gonna do it. Okay? But God says, come to me. Drop all that heavy stuff. Take my burden. It's light. And guess what? As Rebecca's mother is now famous for saying, hey, this is only life. This is only a drop in the bucket. It's only life. What's your worst trouble? Are you serious? Hey, 120 years from now, it won't even matter. It won't even matter. It won't be a memory in your mind. You'll be focused on better things. It's only life. We've only got a short time to make an impact in this life. And it matters. It matters. So good to have some of our guests with us tonight. We're honored. We love visitors. We love, thank y'all for being here tonight. You need to know that you are a blessing to us by being here with us tonight. And we love to have you. Easter is coming up in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're going to have a big service here Sunday morning, and we're going to have a feed everybody out in the gym afterwards. So y'all come back and just fellowship with us and enjoy some food and hang out. We're going to have a good time. So thank y'all for being with us tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. May we become even convinced of that. So convinced of your love for us that there is no other response but to love you back. And Lord, if we love you, we'll obey you. And if we obey you, Father, you're going to call us to do some things that may be outside of our comfort zone. We will do it out of love and out of obedience. And Lord, you reward the obedient. You bless those who bless you. You are faithful to those who are faithful to you. Lord, thank you that you are never unfaithful. Lord, help us to firm up our faith. Help us, like Paul was reminded Timothy, a seasoned veteran in the faith already, and he was telling him, don't ever forget that. Be convinced of it. So convinced that nothing could persuade you otherwise of the truth of the Word of God that came straight from God's mouth and from God's heart. Use it. Use it for God's purposes. First, use it on yourself. And then take it and share it with somebody else because it's life-changing. And you may only have that one opportunity. Father, help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name.